tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 18th of August, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I thought we would have a look at illegal immigration, starting off with a survey, a poll, which was actually taken in Britain, which shows that 8 in 10 British voters think the government is not doing enough to stop illegal immigration. The report actually comes from Breitbart, and of course, legal immigration is a much worse problem than illegal immigration. Legal immigration is probably about 10 times as many people as the illegal immigration. So if you're actually just looking at the number of white people that are being replaced, legal migration is more of a threat. If you're actually looking at the quality of the people that are coming in this migration, it's illegal immigration that causes the biggest problems with the increase in crime. And of course, a lot of that crime is related to sexual abuse of children, sexual rape of people, murder of people. I mean, just this weekend, there was another stabbing of a hotel worker. Somebody, it was a male this time that was working in one of these migrant hotels, stabbed multiple times. Of course, we also had that tragic case last year of a female hotel worker that was brutally stabbed to death with a screwdriver by one of the African immigrants that she was looking after there. So the problem with illegal immigration is the crimes that they get up to, and the problem with legal migration is more just the number of white people that are actually being replaced. So each of them is a serious issue, but for different reasons. So let's have a look at what this poll tells us. Over 8 in 10 British voters believe that the left-wing Labour Party government is not doing enough to prevent illegal immigrants from reaching English shores, potentially spelling trouble for recently installed Prime Minister Andy Burnham. Well, I don't think those figures are that different from when the Conservative Party were there. Because this is Breitbart that I'm using for source material here. Breitbart is right-wing, conservatives, so they try to blame everything on the Labour government. The Labour government are no different than the Conservative government. It was the Conservative government that started putting these people in hotels rather than deporting them. And the Labour government have just carried on doing the same. So whether it's Labour or Conservative, you are still going to have this problem, and they'll still be blaming each other, because of course the Conservatives say, oh well, it was the Labour Party that prevented us from putting them up in Rwanda. We wanted to send them to Rwanda, and the Labour Party prevented us from doing that. And of course the Labour Party say, well, you left us with this problem, we're getting them out of the hotels, we're using less and less hotels now. But of course what they're doing is they're taking them out of the hotels and they're putting them in houses of multiple occupancy. So, and they're spreading them all around the country as well. The news over the weekend was that Andy Burnham wants to put them in all these middle class areas. He says it's not fair that all these migrants are being put in the poorer areas, the working class areas of Britain, and they need to be spread out more and put in the middle class areas as well, which effectively means that he wants to stick them in the country. One of the places that has seen the least diversity traditionally, the places that the British people go to get away from diversity. Andy Burnham wants to fill those places up with migrants from Africa. A Find Out Now survey of over 10,000 voters conducted for the Mail on Sunday has further demonstrated the public dissatisfaction with the response to the migrant crisis in the English Channel, with 82% of respondents saying that they believe the government should do more to stop the arrival of people smuggler-operated migrant boats compared to just 5% who disagreed. And of course, the Labour Party come out and they say, oh yes, well, we're not putting them in the hotels anymore. You must be really happy about that. We're not putting them up in the hotels, as if that's what people are concerned about. What people are concerned about is that they should be deporting these people. We don't want to see them in houses of multiple occupancy. We don't want to see them in army bases. We certainly don't want to see them in hotels. We don't want to see them anywhere in our country. They've illegally broken into the country. That makes them a criminal by the default position. And these criminals should not be scattered around the country amongst the British population. That the first role and concern of the British government should be the safety of the British people. And the safety of the British people is being put at risk by them doing this. The poll comes in the wake of new Prime Minister Andy Burnham arguing that more areas of Britain need to play their part in taking in alleged asylum seekers into their communities, specifically signalling out middle-class neighbourhoods. Everybody needs to play their part in this, is what they're saying. According to the survey, the majority of the public is against the idea, with 57% opposed to just 15% in favour of bringing migrants into their midst. I dare say that a lot of people on the left are against this as well. And the people that do support it are the absolutely crazy lefties. Because a lot of people that are on the left, they still see the Labour Party as being the workers' party, effectively, looking out for the working man. And they don't understand that the Labour Party is more about internationalism than it is about nationalism. So you do get people that are on the left that will be saying, well, we don't agree with this illegal immigration, and they don't really understand why the Labour Party is pushing it and wants to spread them out amongst their community. Of course, the reason why we have to have this diversity in the first place is because it divides the nation, and a divided nation is going to find it more difficult to get together and resist the government. You're not going to be able to have a united resistance if you're not united effectively, because you have all this division amongst you, because you have all these foreign groups that have been placed amongst you. I mean, that's the reason for diversity. That's why we have to have it. Incidentally, that's also the reason why Jews like it. Jews like diversity because they don't stand out so much. The darker the skin tones of the people that they can bring into the country, the more white Jewish people look. If you only had indigenous Britons and Jews in Britain, the indigenous Britons would be able to tell you exactly who a Jew is just by looking at them. But if you fill the country up with people of all different races and ethnicities, then the Jews end up looking more like the white people. So they blend in better. And this is the reason, or one of the reasons, why Jews like diversity. They like multiculturalism. It benefits them, but it doesn't actually benefit white people. It weakens our ability to resist. I mean, that's what diversity is, isn't it? It's division. And Jesus said that a house divided against itself will not stand. And in a way, I mean, this is partially what goes on with democracy. You have this idea of the right and the left, which divides people. And really, you should just have politics based on ethnicity. Who's going to do the best for your ethnic group? Clearly, somebody from that ethnic group. And they should be doing the best for the ethnic group, regardless of whether it's a right-wing policy or a left-wing policy. The overriding concern should be, is this of benefit to us? And of course, this idea that you would have a right and left and you'd be doing things for capitalism or you'd be doing things for the worker, they're all ways to distract from what the government should really be doing. Even among voters in liberal-leaning, wealthier parts of the country that often back pro-migration parties, only 51% agreed that migrants should be more widely dispersed throughout the country. I guess this is this NIMBYism, not in my backyard. One such area to be enriched is the small village of Piddington in Oxfordshire, which is set to see around 1,250 mostly military-age male migrants housed in a camp just outside town, enraged by the scheme. The village of just 314 people has backed holding a referendum on seceding from the United Kingdom. Of course, this has drawn a lot of attention to it, obviously. They've got a lot of media coverage for this. but I doubt whether it will actually hold any legal standing. They said that they're going to have this referendum. If you think there's only 300 people that actually live there, and they're going to have 1,250 male migrants jumped in amongst them, that's five times as many people as there were originally there. There'll be one Indigenous British person for every four migrants. And when you actually look at the number of girls there, it's even worse. It's something like one girl to every six males. I have another report here, actually, which is looking at this and which quotes some of the people from this. Many Piddington residents have expressed concern for the safety of the women and girls in the village, noting that the site borders the local green where kids play and people walk their dogs. Critically, the alleged asylum seekers will be free to leave the MOD site and wander throughout the area without supervision. Well, let's have a look at that. It's where kids play. Well, kids are particularly at risk, as we have seen, at risk of being raped and sexually assaulted, the young girls. And dogs are also at risk because dogs are haram in Islam. So the people that you are putting there will likely be a threat to dogs and children. Not all of them, of course, not all of them. But the threat levels will be increased for the Indigenous British people that are living there. One local woman told Sky News that if the proposed asylum site goes ahead as planned, there would be 50 men per every 9 women in the area. And you wonder how many there would be per children in the area as well. Don't forget that Islam says that the Prophet Muhammad was the ideal man, and the Prophet Muhammad married his wife Aisha. I think she was 6, but he didn't consummate the marriage until she was 9. So they view 9 years old as the ideal age for marriage. This is one of the reasons why it means that young girls are at a heightened risk around these sorts of people, because they come from a completely different culture that looks at women in a completely different way. A local father of an 18-year-old girl said that his family was concerned about allowing her to walk freely in the village, and said they may rent her a flat away from the proposed asylum site for her safety. Well, that's okay if you can afford to do that, if you can afford to privately rent a flat for your daughter. But what about the people that can't afford to do that? The Home Office has got no concern for them. For its part, the Home Office has claimed that it is necessary to use former Ministry of Defence properties as it seeks to end the use of hotels as asylum seeker accommodation. And it seriously thinks that the British people will be pleased about this. They say, we are closing every asylum hotel and moving asylum seekers into basic accommodation, including ex-military sites. This is an important step in ending the perception that you can arrive in the UK illegally and be put up in a hotel, a spokesman said. Well, they still arrive in the UK illegally and will still be put up somewhere by the British government. I saw another news report today, and it was about somewhere in North Wales, brand new houses that have been put up, and they're basically putting migrants into these brand new houses. So they are putting them in council houses. They are putting them in houses of multiple occupation, which of course means it's going to be more difficult for young people to find somewhere to rent, because it's going to be a crowded market and they're not going to be able to afford to pay the rent. Whereas the government pays these massively increased rent numbers to private landlords to rent out their houses to these migrants. So effectively you have young people that are being priced out of the market, and you have Africans and Arabs that are being imported into the country that are filling these houses up. Getting back to the article here about the survey, the apparently unpopular plans from the Burnham government were intended to act as a fix for the currently unpopular scheme of putting asylum seekers up in hotels across the country at taxpayer expense. So I don't see what the difference is, whether they're in hotels at taxpayer expense or whether they are in houses of multiple occupancy at taxpayer expense. Developed under the former Conservative Party government, the scheme similarly saw protests outside hotels, including those that housed migrants who went on to sexually assault residents, including underage girls. And we also had people that were arrested and actually sent to jail for longer than the person that sexually assaulted the underage girls. I mean, one of the most shocking figures that I learned about this was in Dorset. Dorset police were asked how many migrants, how many illegal migrants do you have in the county? How many crimes have these illegal migrants been responsible for? And it actually showed that the illegal migrants were something like 550 times more likely to sexually assault somebody than the general population of Dorset. Those figures actually came from Annunziata Rees-Mogg. She posted them, so I have no reason to disbelieve them. She said these figures actually came from the Dorset police. So there's definitely this increased risk for young girls, and the government just doesn't really seem to care about that, and it just calls the people that point out this risk, it just accuses them of being racist. And if they protest about it, and if they're not careful about the language that they use, they will end up being sent to jail for complaining about it. In contrast to the approach from the left-wing Labour government, Nigel Farage's Reform UK party has said that it would look to house asylum seekers who arrived in the country illegally in third-party nations such as Albania or Rwanda. Well, the problem is the judges stepped in, didn't they? And the judges stepped in and said, well, you can't send them to Rwanda. So what the Reform Party would have to do is they would have to make some new legislation to counter the legislation which said that they weren't allowed to send them to Rwanda. And that would probably entail leaving the ECHR, European Court of Human Rights, and the agreement that there is there about asylum seekers. You could pull out of that, and then you could probably send them to Rwanda. So that actually needs doing first, and that could take some time to do. This would come in addition to plans to deport all illegals currently in the UK, estimated to be at least 1 million people. Rather than dispersing such migrants equally across the country, the party has suggested establishing deportation hubs, specifically in areas of Britain that voted for the Open Borders Green Party. This is the other issue. I mean, what they're saying is, oh, how are we going to integrate these people if they're all together? We need to spread them out. Well, why should we be integrating these people anyway? If they actually are genuine refugees, surely once their country is safe, they're going to be able to go back. We shouldn't be having any concerns about integrating them. And the more you spread them out around the country, the more you harm more communities. More communities will actually be harmed by this. If you just had them in one particular place, then they wouldn't cause so much of a problem for everybody in the country. Of course, nobody would want that hub actually in where they live, but at least it would mean that it was only in that area that you had this this great risk of rape and sexual assault. To prevent further crossings of the English Channel, Mr. Farage has said he would order the Royal Navy to police the waterway and send people smuggling boats directly back to the beaches of France. Well, he's going to have problems doing that because they can't have British boats in French water the same way as we can't have French boats in British water. I mean, it would cause an international incident if the Royal Navy was to go into French waters. So again, they're just saying this to make it look like they're going to do something about it. But of course, if it was possible to actually do that, then I think the Conservative Party would already be doing that, or the Labour Party, if it was possible to just send the people smuggling boats back. I mean, how are you going to do that? And what are you going to do? What sort of threat are you going to use? If you puncture the boat, then all the people are going to drown, and then you have to rescue the people, and then you have to take them back to Britain. So this is the sort of problem. I mean, some people would say, well, you have to allow some of them to drown in order to put a stop to this. You have to look at them as an invading army, and you have to treat them as if they were an invading army. And there is a logic to that, because although you might end up with some people dying on that particular boat that end up drowning, the likelihood is that it would automatically stop and nobody would try it again, because they would know that if they did, then the British Navy would fire upon them or would puncture the boat. And then you could say, well, how many people on average end up drowning over the years? And this would prevent that. So you'd have to weigh it up. But of course, the problem is that would mean that you're deliberately doing an act which could end up with somebody drowning, and people don't really want to do that. So there are all sorts of questions that surround this. But I do think it is a relevant thing to point out that some people are saying, well, they should be treated as an invading army, because that's actually what they are. But also you can say, but our British government appears to have invited these people here anyway by saying, well, if you can get onto the channel, we'll come and pick you up. We'll take you to Britain. We'll put you somewhere, doesn't matter where it is, might be a hotel, might be a house of multiple occupancy. We'll feed you, we'll house you, we'll allow you to have a holiday here. We'll prevent people from criticizing you if you rape or sexually assault the young girls here. And you can't blame people for thinking, well, why don't we move to Britain? We're going to be better off in Britain than we are in Africa. And that's because the British government have created all these incentives for them to come over here. So my argument is that we can't really call it an invasion, because they've effectively been invited by the British government. We've effectively invited them here. Although the numbers themselves and the type of men that they are would give the impression that it is an invasion, because it is far more people than actually came over in the Norman invasion of 1066. To prevent further crossings of the English Channel, Mr. Farage has said he would order the Royal Navy to police the waterway and send people smuggling boats directly back to the beaches of France. This is opposed to the current protocol of picking up migrants in the middle of the Channel and bringing them ashore in Britain, where they are free to claim asylum. We have effectively turned our border force into a taxi service. There's a phone number that the NGO charities, who are effectively aiding and abetting the human traffickers, they give them a phone number to call. And then once they get out of French waters, they call this phone number and the border force taxi service comes to pick them up. Reform would also look to reduce the pull factor for prospective illegals by barring foreigners from government subsidised housing and from Britain's universal credit welfare scheme, which migrants are currently benefiting from to the tune of over £1 billion per month. £1 billion a month. That's incredible. That's just going on people that have broken into the country. They shouldn't be entitled to universal credit anyway. I mean, it's quite scandalous that they are. And to say that they'd be barred from government-subsidised housing. I think it's something like in London, 60% of the social housing has gone to people of foreign ancestry, people that weren't even born in Britain, that have just been given British citizenship. So it's good that 80% or so of the country are concerned about this, but it's bad that the government are not doing anything about it at all. Let's take a closer look at Andy Burnham's plan. This article here comes from GB News. The headline is, Andy Burnham accused of forcing 1,250 illegal migrants on Piddington community despite zero consultation. The chair of Piddington Parish Council has accused the government of failing to consult local people and is forcing them to accept a camp for migrants in their community. Speaking to GB News, Tim McNally stressed that preparation has already begun for the camp with no consultation and before a security review has taken place. The tiny village near Bicester in Oxfordshire has been earmarked to house 1,250 migrants in a former MOD base, which currently has no water, electricity or living quarters. The Piddington community has a small population of just 350 people. It has no pub, no shops or local amenities for the asylum seekers to use. Of course, the British government are looking at that and they're saying, well, we don't want to make this too attractive for these migrants, so we'll put them there and there won't be a pub, there won't be anything for them to do, so it's not going to be such a pull factor. But of course, the community that live there are saying, well, because we have none of these amenities and the migrants are not going to be locked in, it means that they're going to be in our village the whole time, walking around the place, bored, looking for things to do, causing problems for the people that are actually there. So what this shows is that the government, again, it has no concern for the actual Indigenous British people that live there. No concern at all. I mean, it's thinking, well, we don't want to encourage these migrants to come here, so we'll put them there. But what about the people that live there? These bored migrants are going to be looking for things to do. Edwina Curry, Sir... horrible lady who used to be in the Conservative government. I think she used to be John Major's mistress, a Jewish lady who changed her name, I think, Edwina Curry. She said over the weekend, well, you could solve this problem by putting a brothel there. Just put a brothel there by these where these migrants are, and then there'll be less rapes and less sexual assaults that take place there. Well, how about you just don't allow these people in the country anyway? I mean, if they put a brothel there, they would be requiring money to spend in the brothel, wouldn't they? Let alone the poor women that would be working in the brothel that would be expected to have relations with these people that are likely to sexually assault and rape, or far more likely to. But, I mean, that really just shows you that the establishment do know what the problem is. They do know that this goes on around these migrants, or she wouldn't have suggested it, even lightheartedly. She wouldn't have suggested putting a brothel there for them. Sharing the latest update on the protest by the villagers, Mr. McNally told GB News, "I've been approached by every single media outlet on this earth. They've been able to call me, they've been able to email me, but I have had zero from Number 10 in terms of how we are getting on." This Piddington is very much in the news, just like Thanet, I think it was last week, where there were violence going on against migrants, almost in a way similar to what goes on in Northern Ireland, but not really quite so bad. Mark Collette talked about it in a PA Insight piece that we had last week, and it's a similar thing that's going on there. There are various places in Britain where they're trying to do this, where it's like massively increasing the number of people that actually live in that area, and Piddington is in the news a lot. But of course, the Prime Minister's not going to bother to talk to the population about it. The Piddington population is right at the bottom of his list of concerns. Piddington is basically the tip of the spear for this entire subject across this nation. I have had to use the branding of Piddington to basically help people understand. Yes, we formalise this as an environment, but we've got to do this across the whole of the nation, because it is not just about Piddington. It is about how the government is going to treat its people without consideration. And that is the concern, especially now that Andy Burnham says he's just going to scatter these people throughout the country. The villagers are also holding a referendum on self-determination in September in further protest against the camp. As I say, I don't think that will have any legal standing. The council chair explained the referendum will happen on September 15th, which coincidentally is on the same day as the anniversary for the Battle of Britain. And at the time I didn't realise, but my goodness, how things align when things are good. Mr. McNally criticised the government for going ahead with the plans despite no consultation with residents and forcing the camp upon them. He said they are forcing this through so that no one can be consulted. Even the police have not been consulted on this matter. They are moving the pods in next week, and they haven't even published the proposal. That doesn't make sense. Well, I've lived, actually, in some of these pods, these prefabricated pods, and they're actually very nice. It's hardly going to be any hardship for these migrants to be living in pods. I assumed that they were going to be living in barracks, large rooms like in a hostel with a dozen beds in them. But if they're actually putting in these prefabricated pods, you know, they're very nice. They've got all modern amenities. I mean, you could probably rent one of these things out for the same amount of money that you could rent a flat out for. It's just that they're considered to be temporary structures. Because there will already be electricity, or there'll be wires down, cables down for electricity, and pipes down for the water, all you need is a concrete base, and then you can connect these pods up to them, and they're modular as well, so you can just attach one pod to the side of another one. You could have like a whole row of them. Now, as I say, they are very nice. They all come all furnished. So it's not going to be much hardship for these migrants to be living in these pods. I mean, that's just as bad as putting them in a hotel, really. I mean, they'll say, oh, well, we're putting them up in military accommodation. But it's not military accommodation if it's these pods. It's just military land that they're being put on. He says, we've got resources coming in. Electric, water, sewage have been ready to be plumbed in from the 1st of September. I'm finding all of this out, not from the government. They're just not looking after us. But no one's coming to us and saying, you need to prepare for this. Having visited another migrant camp in Wethersfield, Mr. McNally questioned whether the villagers need to build compounds around their homes to keep them safe. He stressed, we haven't done a security review for the village. Have we got to put a compound around our home? Having been to Wethersfield and heard those people who said these men are basically walking through their properties at 4 a.m, what on earth are we doing to our communities? This is the sort of thing people have to deal with. In Calais, the people that live in Calais, it's absolutely horrendous for the people there, the sort of things that these migrants do in their gardens. I mean, you just can't go out, really. You just have to stay in the house. You have to stay locked in the house. And this isn't just going, as it says here, Wethersfield, Piddington, even Linton on Ouse. Now, Patriotic Alternative are very proud of the fact that they managed to stop this from happening in Linton on Ouse 2 or 3 years back. And now the government are making moves to do it again. I mean, there were massive protests because the government wanted to put them in military barracks there, and the protests managed to put a stop to it. But it seems like it was only a pause because Linton-on-Ouse is now being targeted again for migrants. Ms. McNally continued, "We are happy to take our fair share. Absolutely. Send 2 migrants to us, and that represents a percentage of our community. 1,250 migrants to us is a 350% increase of our community." I think that's quite a clever thing to say, just send us 2. That's a percentage. But the problem is, that's still 2 people there that could cause problems. I guess you can say 2 of them are going to be less likely to cause these sorts of problems. And that, I mean, that is quite true. If you have majority at 99% white areas, and you have a couple of Indians there or a couple of black Africans, they're not likely to cause a problem. It's only when you have a large group of them together that you have enough of them to that a percentage of them are going to be troublemakers. Although obviously you really don't want these people in your communities at all. I mean, that would be much more reasonable just to send them 2 of them. So that's a good thing for him to say, I think. How are 1,250 men going to assimilate into our community? I think we are going to have to assimilate into theirs. That is what is happening here now as a consequence. Again, that's very true. They're not going to assimilate. It's the people that have to assimilate to the foreigners that the government are pushing on them. It's white people that are having to assimilate, not the other way around. Mr. McNally concluded, "I'm just going to say to you, the government better listen. MPs had better listen. The 15th of September is our referendum day. Watch how many others come with us." I mean, that could be a good move. I mean, get other parts of the country to hold a referendum on whether they should secede from the United Kingdom. I mean, it's a protest, basically, and it would have to be recorded that they voted to secede, but it wouldn't actually have any legal standing. But it's a good bit of propaganda, I think, a good bit of advertising for them. In a statement, a Home Office spokesman told GB News, "The Home Office maintains that discussions about the site remain in early stages and would include engagement with local stakeholders and communities." Well, we've just been told that there is no engagement. What do they mean by stakeholders? Possibly Care for Calais, NGOs. That's the sort of thing that they mean when they talk about stakeholders normally. The government argues that the plan to move migrants to military sites is fairer because it takes the burden off poorer communities where many asylum seekers are currently housed in hotels. So the government's just all concerned about fairness. It's not really fair that only some of them are in these hotels. It's only fair if we make your community 5 times the size that it originally was. And that's quite staggering, isn't it? 350 people live in the community and the government dumps 1,250 migrants on them without giving them any warning. And it expects them to just shut up and put up with it. And if they complain about it and they use the wrong sort of terminology, if they start using some old-fashioned English when they complain about it, they can end up being jailed. And the migrants that may well carry out rape and sexual assault, if we go judging on what's happened in the past, then the person that carries out the sexual assault will get less of a sentence than the person complaining about the sexual assault. So as I say, it's good news today that 80% of the British public are concerned and think the government is not doing enough about illegal migration. But it's bad news what the government's plans are for parts of the country like Piddington. I think they have the right idea there about this sort of referendum. If they could get all these parts of the country that are doing this to all hold a referendum, all hold protests on the same day, that would be a good one because that would really stretch the old police resources, wouldn't it? If there were protests going on everywhere on exactly the same day, the government would have to stand up and take notice to it, wouldn't they? Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.